This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
You said my number.
You did say your name, yes.
Hola, amigos.
What's up, Linehan?
Buenas noches. Nada.
So you had a nice Thanksgiving at the orphanage.
Yeah, no, we didn't have Thanksgiving at the orphanage.
I got you a couple pies.
I appreciate it. My sister left a turkey on the porch for me. It's like
good,
a drive
the
to
the sister
house.
We like?
Yeah, the only one I got. We didn't like, I don't have any brothers. They're both late. And by late, I mean dead.
But the other sister we didn't really like.
Nah, I haven't talked to her in years. She might be dead for all I know.
We don't really like her.
Nah, she's no bueno.
No bueno.
No.
But everything good with you? I mean, anything new? I mean, you're keeping busy with Boston University hockey?
Yep.
Yeah.
Big weekend, heading to Durham, New Hampshire, home of the Smart Kids tomorrow at UNH.
I don't really believe they're the Smart Kids, are they?
Oh, they're the Smart. That's the toughest school in the country to get into. Right. It's the Harvard of the North, but don't tell Dartmouth.
Okay, so it's the Harvard of the North.
It's the Harvard of New Hampshire, but don't tell Dartmouth.
I don't believe it is.
Oh, it is. Everybody knows that. So what was you didn't know that because you wouldn't get in there.
What was the thought process? They had this huge ice that they called the Olympic ice sheet, and they made it smaller. Why? Because they couldn't play on it? What was up?
I think it was just too different than everybody else. It's different practice.
What's the thought process behind that? I talked to Andy Powers last night about that. Why did they make the Olympic ice sheets bigger, these hockey rinks bigger? What was the thought process?
I think that's the way it was in Europe and the Olympics. It's a less of a physical game and more of a skating game.
Yep.
And in the NHL, I think it was a difficult situation for New Hampshire as far as practicing concerns. Like, for an example, this weekend, when BC plays them home and away, a home-and-home series, you know, you got to practice a little differently for, you know, getting ready for a smaller confine. I think it's a lot easier on everybody, especially the coaches and recruiting-wise, to have rinks be the same size, you know. Some teams adjust. You notice some teams, like Providence, has a lot of room behind the net. I mean, the rink has to be 200 feet long, but you can shrink, and the zones have to be 60 feet.
Yep.
But you can take a couple of feet off the neutral zone as we watch a touchdown. And
that'd be 17 points of Buffalo, right?
How many do you need again?
I just need
24, Rain Man?
I just need 24.
Definitely 24 points.
I got 23. I get over 23 and a half Buffalo.
There's a flag.
I'm not worried about it. It's on the page.
I think it just makes a difference. And it hasn't helped UNH much this year. So hopefully that streak continues. The only time I root against them is when they play BU.
All right, highest rated segment is coming up next. It's called the Beantown Rundown. He's Mark Linehan.
I am.
I'm Anthony Pepe. We are the Diehards, and it's the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Now time for the Beantown Rundown.
All right, boys, let's do this.
Here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
I want to tell you about my friends at Total Wine & More. This holiday season, find what you love at Total Wine & More. So many great bottles to choose from. It's easy to find a new favorite single barrel bourbon, Cabernet, Chardonnay, or the perfect gifts for everyone on your list. Some help from a friendly guide, and all with the confidence of knowing you found something special for the lowest price. You'll love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Delivery available in most areas. Visit TotalWine.com. That's TotalWine.com to learn more. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Be 21. All right. Highest rated segment, Linehan.
You notice I was quiet that time for you? So you
I appreciate
whine
that.
At me.
B-Town
get
Rundown.
It? Wine.
I see what you did there. Hey, rate your excitement level for the World Cup.
7.
And what would you make?
Out of a billion.
Better in soccer. How do you make soccer better is the question, actually. And then question 2, who has a better chance to win a ship and why? The Seas or the Bees? They're both the best in the NHL and NBA right now. Who has the better chance to win a ship? The Boston Celtics or the Boston Bruins? Question 3, Linehan, here in the Beantown Rundown with the Diehards. Thoughts on the college playoffs? Do you like the 4 teams? I mean, obviously, Georgia's number 1. We know that. Michigan is number 2. We know that. TCU, I guess, belongs at number 3, but are you smelling shenanigans? Upset, only 2.5-point favorites this weekend. And then, of course, USC at number 4, Ohio State 5, Bama 6. Thoughts on the college football, the Final 4, if you will. Question 4. Would you trade Bill Belichick for a top-tier quarterback? Let's say, for argument's sake, the Buffalo Bills came out and said they hate Josh Allen. They don't like him. They don't want to play for the team anymore. Buffalo Bills came to the New England Patriots and said, hey, you know what? We want to trade our QB1, the best in the business, and one of them, a top-tier quarterback, for Bill Belichick. Would you do it? I know it's not like an official trade, but you know what I'm talking about. And then question five.
Can I trade you?
Trade me right now. I'd love it.
I'll take future considerations.
Should Fenway Sports Group John Henry,
player to be named later,
sell the Boston Red Sox because they stink? They're not doing anything. They stink. I know they won the ship in 2018, but that's eons ago. They're doing nothing now.
Ian
they
Thompson?
Stink. No, they stink. What should they do? All right. Hey, your excitement level for the World Cup, go.
Go!
Go!
It's something I never see. I'm not a big fan, but I don't have a problem. I'll
Did you watch?
Pay attention. I click back and forth, you know, the end
so
of the
So everybody game. Talking about it, you're watching on social media, you're following
no,
Twitter,
no, no,
you're watching
no,
Felger
no.
and Mass talk about it on, you know, I know you watch them on TV.
Because
you love them.
I do, they're the best. Yeah. Jim Murray's my favorite.
You don't watch the World Cup at all? You don't get like all enthralled in the game and get
I put
fired
my
up?
USA underpants on.
All right, so
but that's even when they're not.
What
playing.
Is it like 9:30, 10 o'clock Saturday morning? Netherlands? Are you
yeah.
watching?
Oh yeah, I'll be up early for that one. I'll be eating a pie apparently.
A bumbleberry.
Yeah, you put the bum in bumbleberry.
Hey,
I'm not a big soccer guy, but I'm not that guy that hates it. I mean, I like yep. the fact that it's a big deal and people like it. God bless them.
How do you make the sport better? Because I was talking about last night.
No goalies.
Shouldn't you make the field smaller? Because doesn't the field seem too big?
It does to us, but it's not our game. It's the European game, and you know they know what they're talking about more than us. That's like somebody saying to us that, you know, make the baseball field 100 feet down the
line. Doesn't it seem like there's too many players on the field? Cut them down.
To me, how about no goalie?
No goalie would be good. Smaller net or bigger net?
A huge, giant net. Two nets.
Two nets.
And no goalie.
All right.
Over-under is a 17.
What about letting the players sub in and out where, like, they just come
yeah,
in and out?
They don't fly like hockey.
Because they stop the play all the time, and it just stinks. I don't understand
I think,
it.
I mean, it's the argument for people that don't like soccer have all the time, but it still blows my mind that only one guy knows how much time is left in the game.
It's unbelievable. Is that the thrill of the game?
We've got this thing called clocks now.
Is that the thrill of the game, though?
Ain't
why
me,
can't
but,
why can't they let us in on that secret?
I don't know why.
And then I saw someone on Twitter with all these ideas put ice all over the place. I know
well,
you'd love that.
That's my NASCAR idea. They're trying to steal that. Ice in one turn.
Or a car going the other way.
Car goes the other way. I know you can have time, but who wouldn't watch it?
What about...
Have it be like a 72 Chevy Impala.
What about...
Going 45.
What about putting like a rabid animal on that big field, like a coyote?
How about two soccer balls?
That would really change things up.
No offsides, no goalies, no. Bigger nets.
Yep.
Make the over-under 17 and a half.
And you can punch people in the face and elbow them with no flags.
Or if you take a dive like they do, you get thrown out for a month. A month. You have to go do the other guy's dishes.
Are you betting this weekend?
No. If I bet,
can you say plus 350 they are? New England, USA?
Yeah.
Against
USA.
The Netherlands?
Yep.
What's the chant? How does it go?
It goes USA.
What are the letters? What are they again?
USA. USA. Come for the biscuit, stay for the gravy.
College football playoffs.
What do you think? I think there's going to be some upsets. I think that Kansas State can beat TCU, and I think Utah can beat
USC. It's only 2.5.
Yeah. I think the curveball is going to be, if that
Utah
happens.
Was supposed to be very good this year. They lost some games.
Yeah, they lost
they're
UCLA.
Still very good.
Yep. UCLA is two scores away from being in this conversation. Don't get me started. But I think the problem is going to be, if Kansas State beats TCU, do you bounce TCU out with one loss and move up in Ohio State?
I think you have to.
I think the curveball of college football is crazy. That, for example, Ohio State, Michigan. If Ohio State lost to Michigan in September instead of November, they might be still a top 14.
You're right.
You know, I mean, it's just crazy that when it happens is a factor. But I think Ohio State can sneak in.
You think about all the dynamics with just the four teams.
Yeah.
How do you think this is going to play out when it's 12 teams?
Well, I think the problem is going to be when there's four teams, the 15 complains. When there's 12 teams, the 13 team complains.
Yeah.
My boy Chip Kelly has an argument. You got no complaint if you lose a game.
I get that, but we're talking about four teams here and all these different scenarios. And now you got Bama sitting right there. I was going to go, Bama's
well,
still going to end up there.
That was going to be the next thing I said. Does Bama get the SEC love that they get and sneak
they,
in
they,
with
they beat LSU. If yeah. they beat LSU and then there's still Bama and TCU loses, do they slide in? If Ohio State, you know, doesn't do anything, you know what I mean? Like, what happens?
Ohio State's, what they're going to have against them, and this year's the first time that the committee has even...
They don't play again, right?
No.
Okay.
The committee has actually said that, you know, big-time wins and losses are a factor. It used to be like it didn't matter if you won 1-0 or 100-0.
So if Bama dominates LSU, which LSU had a great season, does Alabama pole vault Ohio State if TCU loses?
I think Ohio State is in.
All right.
I think they're going to get in. But the curveball for them is going to be that they got beat pretty bad at home by a good Michigan. I mean, I saw Michigan in person, and we talked about it on the air when I was out there. I got a chance to be on the field with them in pregame and up in the booth with the coaches.
Yep.
I came home and told everybody, wow, they were as impressive as anybody I've seen. Now, granted, I didn't have access to every other team like I did with Michigan, but I was not the least bit surprised at what they did to Ohio State by how they looked.
Purdue's not going to beat Michigan. We get that. Everyone's going, that's enough. It's not going to happen.
Purdue don't?
17-point favorites. And Georgia's not getting upset by...
No.
Georgia is playing... Georgia's playing LSU.
Yeah.
In the SEC championship. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I was mentioning Alabama earlier. But Georgia's actually playing LSU. So if Georgia pounds LSU... But what if LSU beats Georgia?
Oh, Georgia's still in.
I get that. Yeah. But then what?
Well, that you got an argument. You're going to have to... LSU... the SEC always gets those votes in the end. I think that another curveball of the factor is that teams that are playing in these playoff games... potentially getting penalized, as opposed to a team like Ohio State sitting on the outside with one loss, obviously. But if somebody's playing in a playoff game and loses, is it fair that Ohio State gets to jump them and the other team played another game? I'm obviously an Ohio State guy. I like Ryan Day. But
Utah beats USC. Yeah. USC's out.
Yeah, definitely.
And then Ohio State's probably in.
Yeah.
And if TCU loses, Bama's in.
I don't think so. I think TCU with only one loss then.
I don't know.
It's going to be hard to say.
How do you keep Bama out and put TCU in when you're looking at a Bama program that has all that success and all that history and everything else? I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. And the SEC always gets the, gets the extra votes. It's like the Michigan precinct comes in late.
Question 4, Linehan. Would you trade Bill Belichick for a top-tier quarterback?
I don't think so. I mean, I'd have to get more than that.
And again, if Buffalo said, hey, we're going to give you Josh Allen... for X, X, and X, but in return, we want Bill Belichick. And again, we've seen, I know you can't trade a coach or a player, but in scenarios like that where it happened, would you do it?
I don't think I would. I'm sick of it. I mean, I don't know who you're getting in as a coach afterwards, all that stuff. It's hypothetical. I mean, if it was a Tom Brady 5-10 years ago.
Murphy from Harvard.
Story. Yeah, that brings Coach Murphy. Sure, he gives me rings. Don't get me started on that. They lose to Yale, one game away from rings for everybody. Oh, that was a tough one, Harvard, Yale.
You didn't get a ring this year?
No, Harvard's not getting them. The only one's getting them, Yale. If Harvard had upset Yale that day, Penn did their job against Princeton, so there would have been four teams in the Ivy League that all got rings.
So the possibility is your next ring would be Boston University hockey to win the national championship.
Yep, absolutely. We're in play a little bit, maybe. We'll see what happens. Just got to stay healthy.
All
right. We got a pretty good mix. We got a couple of freshmen that are real good.
Hey, at Fenway Park... should John Henry and the Fenway Sports Group sell the Boston Red Sox? Because everyone in this town hates this team.
Yeah, I think they hate Heim Bloom. This team's, I've been told by sources that I got over there, they're going to spend money this year. I just don't know who it's on.
Who? You, me and you?
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
I mean, who?
The only one spends money on me is you.
Well, but I mean, who are they going to spend money on?
Well, there's enough people out there that they can spend money on.
Yeah, go bring in another David Price.
I think they're waiting to see what happens with Xander, obviously. I think that, what I understand...
He's out. He's gone. He said no. He wants out.
He didn't say no. That's somebody reporting that he said no. But I don't... I think he is gone because I think that they... And wisely, I don't think you can give a 30-year-old shortstop 8 years.
But don't you feel like he's won a championship here?
Yeah, he's won four of them. Xander, you mean?
Xander.
Yeah.
He's won a championship, and it's like, you know what? I'm going to get my money anywhere. Why would I want to stay here?
Well, I think he wants to stay here, but the difference is going to be in years. I don't think I'm pretty confident that he does want to stay here, but he understands that the Red Sox have maxed out at maybe 5-6 years tops, and somebody else is going to give him 8 years, 10 years. That's the difference. And
I don't think he wants to stay here, Linehan.
Well,
I think he won the ship, and he's going to get his money anywhere. He's going to want to go to San Diego. He's going to want to go to L.A.
He's going to go where the money is. If the money was here, he'd stay here. And I think the money situation is the years.
Wasn't the money here with Mookie? He wanted to leave. He wanted to ship. He wanted to leave.
Mookie did not want to leave. Mookie would have stayed if they paid him. I
disagree 1,000%. No, but you told me they offered him the money, though.
Not the same amount of money in the years.
Yeah, but they offered him the money. It's not
It's years. It's years. It's the answer these days.
I don't know. If they still offer the money.
Well, the money, they're not offering the same money. They Dodgers gave him, what, 10 years? The Red Sox
still offered him like $200 million.
Yeah, and the other team gave him $300 million.
Again, I get that.
Well, but $100 million difference.
At the end of the day, he wins a ship here. He's going to go somewhere else. It can't be about a 2 or 3 year difference.
It absolutely is about a 3 or 3 year difference.
Can't
of course
be.
It is.
It can't be.
Talking $100 million, $50 million, $80 million, $100 million difference.
But again, you're telling me these guys are going to make that money up.
No, they're not.
It's about winning a ship and going somewhere else. They don't want to be in Boston anymore, dude.
It's not
they
the
don't want to be in Boston
anymore. Absolutely, Mookie would have absolutely stayed in Boston.
Bogarts does not want to be here anymore.
How do you say that?
Because he doesn't.
How do you?
He won a ship here. He's going to get a two, three. He's going to get a $300 million contract somewhere else.
Yeah, that's why he's going to go.
Again,
you think if he got the same
contract? The Red Sox are not offering that kind of money. If the Red Sox offered him $300 million and San Diego offered him $300 million, he's going to San Diego.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. He's gone.
You got a Xander on line 2-0?
He's gone.
He's going to the team that gives him the most years.
Gone.
The end.
Gonzo.
Listen, you come for the biscuits and stay for the gravy. I'll tell you about
that. Speaking of biscuits, we'll take a timeout. Leanne Herring talking college football.
Y'all.
Talking biscuits next. Keep it right here.
Ask her about biscuits.
You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
The Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network. The Pepe Compound is pounding tonight, Linehan.
Full house.
SRO. Everyone's having a good time. Thursday night football. Buffalo Bills.
A good time.
Yeah, they're always having a good time. They like you.
I can see that, but I leave soon and the body goes downhill.
And she covers college football for RebelWalk.com. Good friend of the show, Leanne Herring's on the line. Leanne, welcome back to the Diehards. How are you?
She doesn't want to tell us.
Is it a secret?
Yep.
Hey, Leanne, you there?
Oh, hey. I was waiting for a little intro in there. I was like, I think he might be saying hello. How are you, fellas?
We're doing all right. And how about your boy, Lane Kiffin? It looks like he's staying with your team. Rumors going to Auburn next, and he's staying there. You fired up?
I think everybody's fired up. I think everybody is relieved if you're the Rebel faithful that no one has to go down the rabbit hole. It's been an interesting couple, week and a half, with all the speculations, with all, of course, the message board warriors, as I like to call them, thinking that the sources from the uncle of the uncle that, that they heard that it's a done deal. They saw it, so-and-so on a plane. So I think everyone's just glad it's over. And I think Coach Kiffin and the staff and especially the recruits are glad that, it solidified the contract extension is a done deal, and now they can get ready for the portal that's going to open and see what happens there, and the Lane train can keep rolling on down in Oxford.
The Lane train. That's what I call Linehan, the Linehan train.
Woo woo! Hey, Leanne, were you nervous? Was there any thought of him going? I mean, it looked like obviously that first report came out that looked pretty solid till Lane kind of ripped him.
That was just kind of surprising when that report came out because, a credible journalist also covers Mississippi State. You'll have some people say that the ex-Mississippi State athletic director, who's now obviously the athletic director at Auburn, might have staged a coup. I mean, there's so many, so many things. I think that everyone just kind of went down the rabbit hole. And I think what kind of led people in was, how Kiffin was in his past. He hasn't stayed more than a program more than 3 years. And, I think there was just a lot of PTSD from Lane Kiffin of the past. But I think it's evident to see that he was more focused on trying to get his players, his recruits. And I think at the end of the day, Lane did a great job in handling. But you could tell easily he was frustrated, as he should be, when you got all this media trying to speculate one thing and you're trying to prepare your ball game, you're trying to keep recruits and their families, letting them know that, this is where you want to be. So it was a tough week. And clearly we saw from the results, from the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night that, it didn't go the Rebels' way. And it was clear that there was a lot of distractions and it was hard not to be considering, it just kind of everyone had gone down the rabbit hole. I myself tried to stay away from it because I felt like if Lane was going to leave, he would have addressed it sooner than later, but I think he was more focused on the game and whatnot. But I think I'm glad it's solidified. I'm glad now we can move forward, especially, like I said, heading into December 4th as we open into the transfer portal, which we all know Lane Kiffin is looking to reclaim his Portal King title.
Were you surprised at Lane's immediate reaction as far as I thought it was pretty funny the way he called out the reporter?
You know, that's Lane being Lane, and I think that's what you have to love about him. And I think when he started, you know, people were kind of, you know, in the presser when he was like, well, I could give you the Tommy Tuckerville, I'm not going to leave, in a, you know, pine box speech, and then he left to Auburn, we fall, you know, or Nick Saban with, you know, when he was about, I'm not going to leave back to Tuscaloosa, he kind of alluded to that. So some of the Rebels were like, oh my gosh, you know, is this a sign? Because, you know, everybody knows that when Lane Kiffin tweets, when he's out there on social media, he's very cryptic. So everyone was trying to read between the lines, I think, a little too much. And like I said, went down the rabbit hole. But I think a lot of it, at the end of the day, as much as there was frustration from the fan base, as the way, you know, felt like maybe Lane was taking it too down the rabbit hole. But at the end of the day, I think that everyone's happy that, like I said, that, you know, there's a commitment there. And at the end of the day, that, Hugh Freeze is in Auburn, and Lane is in Oxford.
Three straight losses. That take the does him staying? Was there any, you know, back people not wanting him to stay a little bit as far as after the three straight losses? How was the fallout to that?
I think more of the frustration was with those losses, because I think when you look at the bigger picture, which I think a lot of the Rebel faithful, the network, the foundation, the boosters, they were like, look, yes, we did. It's not the way we thought about it, but when you think about what Lane's done in his short term, you know, already what he's done and what he's been able to do, I think that they realized that, you know what, the reaction was more as a way, like, they felt like Lane was dragging them on. And like I said, a lot of PTSD from previous Lane tenures at other schools. Like I said, they felt like he wasn't going to be committed and he was going to do what Lane always does. But like I said, of course, like in Lane fashion, he surprised everybody. And I think everybody at the end of the day is happy and they're excited to move forward now that, like I said, the contract's extension signed. It's, and you know, and I think they're looking forward to what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks on the recruiting trail.
What's Lane like to deal with from your perspective?
You know, I'm a different kind of media when it comes back, and we can say, I can thank Coach Phil Estes for that one, because I think I never ever planned to be in media. I always just wanted to be in a program. I was fine being equipment manager, and I think when seeing Coach Estes in some of his moments with Brown, sure, when he was just pissed off and he didn't want to talk to nobody, I said, I am sorry for the person from you know, from the New England media or whoever was in, you know, the presser after a loss or whatever. If you had a deal and you had the nerve to ask Coach Estes some of the things you did, clearly you didn't watch the game, clearly you didn't watch the field, and clearly you didn't know Phil Estes. So that's kind of always been my kind of mentality going into it. And I kind of just stay far kind of in the woodwork, and I like it. You know, if there's a question, if I can't answer a question after a loss and things like that, I think he's a good fit for Oxford. I just think that he's with the players and everything, you see the dynamic with him, and you know, and he's doing really good on the recruiting trail. He's put a really good staff together. So, you know, as far as a media standpoint, I think he's just great for what Ole Miss is about and where they want to go.
Leanne, wait a minute. Are you telling me Coach Estes yelled at people?
No. Hey, Leanne, we got about a minute left here. Big 12 championship, number 10 K-State against number 3 TCU. TCU, 2.5-point favorite, close game. How do you see this one playing out? Can you see K-State pulling the upset?
You know, I've gone against K-State a lot. I think this was going to be close. K-State definitely showed earlier in the season how they were able to dismantle, you know, kind of pick apart that TCU defense. TCU is definitely going to have to stay on its toes. It's going to be a close one. Will Howard, K-State replacing, you know, Martinez down there has really opened up the passing game explosive. But I think at the end of the day, TCU has just clicked on all cylinders. They're playing for big. No one thought they'd be here. They were picked to finish seventh in the Big 12. You know, a real unicorn Cinderella story, and I think they're going to come play hard. Max Duggan, if he hasn't showed what a heck of a quarterback he is and how he's going to get the job done. At the end of the day, I think the strong options they have on the run game, they're really just going to take it to K-State. And obviously, I think the most important thing is that TCU defense has improved in the late stretch of this run, and I think they're going to play a big part in holding it together. I think it's going to come down to Duggan and Howard going for a QB duel, keeping it close, but I think TCU is going to cover in this one, and I think it's going to be a low scoring game, and I'm going to take the under 62 in this one. So I'm going to take TCU, but I think K-State keeps it close.
Keep up the good work. RebelTalk.com. Appreciate it. RebelWalk.com. And we appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
See y'all later.
Sounds good.
Y'all. I love y'all. I go to Alabama. I want them all to just say, yeah, I just ask them to say y'all again.
Yeah, I don't think you had to ask them. Y'all an idiot. How many times you hear that?
Celtics play-by-play radio and TV voice Sean Grandy is next.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
All right, Linehan, we're going to talk some NBA hoops before we get to our guests. I want to ask you about Deshaun Watson. The 1-9-1 Houston Texans host their former QB1 this weekend. The 4-7 Cleveland Browns coming to town. I love how he sits out a year. He gets a 6-game suspension. The NFL, the marketing geniuses that they are, decide to give him 11 games. And by the way, when he returns, he's facing his old team in Houston. It's mind-boggling to me the NFL would do this.
Yeah, I think it's a coincidence, and I think that
I don't think it's a coincidence at all.
Oh, I do. I think because I don't think they want that. I think that they regret that. I think the Aussie kind of insinuated the same way as I'm thinking that. I don't think they want more attention than there's enough attention's going to be there. But you know what, Pep? You know how the world is and how the NFL is. In 2 weeks, nobody's going to care.
Just win, baby.
Yeah. Nobody's
gonna
care.
Crazy to me. It's crazy to me. But you have that attorney in Houston, Busby. He's going to have a luxury box with all these accusers in there.
Will he have a massage table?
Protesting. I don't think they're going to have a massage table. And I know you're being facetious there, but at the end of the day, this is an awful situation for the NFL. It's a very bad look for the NFL. And what were they thinking?
Well, I think that, there's not really much criminal charges, obviously.
There's none.
That's what I mean. So, I mean, there's a defense to be made for him as much as it's ridiculous.
I get that. Yeah. And it's silly. But, again, we'll table that because I do want to talk some NBA. We'll hop back to the Progressive Insurance guest line. Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto easy. Learn more at progressive.com. He's a good friend of the show, longtime friend of the show. Play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics, radio and TV. Mr. Sean Grandy, how are you, buddy?
You timed that, so I would come on at halftime. That was awesome.
That's just how I roll, Sean. I focus the show around you.
Programming for the New England fan that does it all or people that can't figure out Prime Video.
Hey, Sean, I got a quick question for you. Is it true? Is there any truth to the rumor that you and the Prince and the Princess went to Sullivan's for a couple of Bud Lights after the game last night?
Let me tell you what happened to me last night. It was a devastating. It was a night that was great for 99% of it. And again, you have to have some understanding of the wrestling business to get the end of the story and why my night ended up so devastated. So the Prince and the Princess take over the building last night. It was the biggest thing. And putting aside the fact, without trying to be disrespectful, I really don't get it. They seemed very nice, and it was, but it was whatever. I couldn't understand it. My wife's going crazy. I'd given my tickets to somebody else, and my wife was furious at me that I'd given the ticket, like, because she wanted to be in the same building, whatever, all these things. It was like, I didn't care, Max didn't care, Abby Chin's going crazy. That the Royals, okay, fine, I get it, there's something that I don't understand, that's fine. We do the game, I'm working stuff in with the Prince and the Princess, and what a regal performance by Jay, all the above, and I go home, and somebody texts me and says, she was there, it was amazing, did you see her, did you get to talk to her? And I met the Princess, like, what was the big deal? She said, no. I said, what do you mean? Sasha Banks was at the game last night. And I didn't, and somehow this escaped my, because we were so, we spent all night being forced to look at the Princess, we missed the Goddess, who was actually at the game, you know, courtside. So it was a that was my night. For everybody else, it's going to be the night the Prince and the Princess were there. For me, it's going to be the night I could have met Sasha Banks and didn't.
Hey, I've been saying all night long, the last time I got excited when a Royal came to town was Bo Jackson.
Oh, no quite. Well, we had before the game, so I asked Joe Mazzulla before the game, because I said, Joe, listen, you're obviously a very nervous guy to begin with. Very nervous guy to begin with, so you must be really uptight to play in front of the Royals tonight. And he's like, hey, you know, the only Royal family to me is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Oh, and I paused for a second. I said, well, that's great, but I bet these two had a better hotel room.
Hey, Sean Grandy, long time radio voice of the Boston Celtics. You're doing TV now. I want to know, what's more challenging, working with Max or Scal?
I think they both present their own. Listen, I love it both. I'm having, to me, it's the best case scenario. I mean, for 20 years, everyone's sort of been pushing me into this role, right? That I'm just going to take over TV when Mike leaves, and I get it, and maybe that's the way we end up doing it. I don't know. But to me, this is the perfect, I'm in the perfect situation right now where I do 25, 30 games on TV, and I'm going to do the dirty little secret about NBA local television, which is where I broke in 20-something years ago, is that you don't get to do the good games. you know, local TV doesn't do the best 12 games in the regular season, and then you get kicked out in the playoffs. And I got to tell you, I'm not. I understand what comes with it, and there's visibility. It's different being, you know, being 30 and being 50. You look at that two different ways, and I'm not terribly interested in not being the voice of the Celtics at this point. So, to me, it's awesome because it's completely different. There, not only is the performance different, and it's a different skill set and whatever. It's also doing the games with Max and doing the games with Scal. It's both great, but they're completely different. You're doing a completely different show at a completely different medium. So it's tremendous for me. I love working with Abby. I love the, you know, the crew. I love doing games. And to me, I enjoy TV more than radio for this reason, that you do it as a team, that you're a team of people and everybody has a role in that team. With radio, you know, I'm doing a lot of the work. I mean, that's not just the work, but you're kind of the show. Whereas it just becomes more of a team thing when you're doing TV. So I'm having a blast doing both. I'm really obviously gratified that everyone's really happy with the way it's going, and that's all great. But I don't want to look too far ahead because, to me, if we can keep doing this forever, now listen, I hope Mike stays forever and we just keep doing this, or Mike just does the home games or whatever. But at some point, realistically, I don't see myself in 25 years. You know, wanting to get on a plane to go to Sacramento either.
Sean, is one harder than the other? Is TV harder than radio? Is radio harder than TV, or a mixture of both?
As I said to my first wife when she would catch me looking at the dance team, I would say, honey, it's not better or worse. It's not better or worse. It's just different. And that is probably one of the many reasons she was my first wife. But, no, they really are. I think it's one... I think radio is harder to do well.
All right.
But you know what? I'm not sure. I think that's an easy... I think radio people say that sometimes. They're like, well, radio is hard. And it is the true art of it. I think there's... Yeah. Radio is the stage actor. And doing the games on TV is more like being a movie star or a TV... It's a different... You know, yeah, that's the true performance, what you're doing is radio. But television, to do television properly... And the caption, the pictures you're being given, and the great, there's an art in that too. So I don't like, again, I don't really like choosing between them. I think they're both great. I enjoy doing both. It's not like if one goes, you know, if and when one goes away, I'm going to be happy that that one went away. You know what I'm saying? Like I enjoy, it's like doing the different sports. I'm someone that, there are some people that they are, this is a, you know, Mike has done basketball, he's done the Celtics on television for 40 years, and that's his thing. That's not the life I ever wanted. You know, I'd rather do some hockey and some MMA and do football games here and do some on TV and some on radio, because that, to me, the great ones, to me, are the ones that I'm always going to lean towards, the Sean McDonoughs and the guys that can do the multiple sports. That, to me, is the true.
Sure.
Truly great ones can be great at anything.
Sean, you do a great job tweeting out different statistics about Jason Tatum this year.
The stats are crazy.
It's unbelievable. What are we looking at with this kid?
Well, you're looking at the best player in the NBA right now.
Yep.
I don't think there's any. And you know, Luka people go crazy when you say that. And Steph people, I think offensively right now, there's a top tier that you couldn't choose between with Tatum and Luka and Steph. And by the way, the guy, the Celtics are going to see Sunday. Kevin Durant is at full, he's at max Kevin Durant right now.
All right.
Like, he is just offensively dominant. But the difference between Jason Tatum and the other guys on that list, and Devin Booker, by the way, is offensively is with those guys, too. There's a top tier of six or seven guys you couldn't choose from. And the difference is that Jason Tatum is playing at an all-defense level. I mean, he's guarding the best guy.
Yeah.
He is making multiple defensive efforts. He's setting screens. He is... I voted for 18 years for MVP, and when I started, you don't always end up that way because there are always circumstances, but I always started with who's the best player on the best team.
Yep.
Start there and then see if somebody else can make the case to knock that guy off the mountain. Jason Tatum is the best player on the best team, so it's almost an easy choice right now, and he's the player of the month today, and that's the only month we've had so far. So Jason Tatum... through, and we're 21 games in. We just passed the quarter pole, and a million things can happen. But to me, there isn't really much question that he's the MVP of the league right now.
Sean, how does a young player like Pritchett handle from going to, like, being a rotation guy in the finals in June to kind of being out of the rotation this early in December? Any concerns there?
I think the concerns have been assuaged because when he's been called on, Mark, he's been really good.
Yeah, good
right?
point.
Like,
yeah.
He's answered the call and he's been ready to play. That's something we say all the time, right? Being ready to play and being ready to play. And a lot of times fans will go, so what? That's your job, to be ready to play. But that's so much easier said than done when you're in his spot. And, you know, last year, because, you know, Dennis Schroeder didn't work out. So he just kind of moved up the list. Now, and you can't, as much as everybody loves Peyton, how can you make the case that to play him instead of Marcus Smart, Derek White, Malcolm Brogdon, Jaylen Brown? You can't. You know, he's going to be a spot relief guy, and he's going to help you win a couple of games that way. The same way the Blake Griffin thing, and I bring those two together because Blake Griffin is one of those veterans who's been in Peyton's ear all year. Be ready. Stay ready. And I think Peyton probably knows. The toughest thing about being a young player is you don't know if you belong. You have to prove it to yourself and to everybody else that you're an NBA player. And it's hard to do that when you're only getting spot duty. But I think what Peyton is establishing over last year and this year is that he is an NBA player. He's going to be an NBA player somewhere, and he should be in this league for a while. But the other thing is, how many opportunities are you going to get to play on a 18-4 best team in the league who right now is not only the best offensive team in the history of the NBA, it is not even close. The Celtics offensively right now are secretariat. They are the gap between them and the second best offensive team in the history of the game.
It's crazy.
Is bigger than the gap between the second best team and the 17th best team ever. That's how outrageously efficient they've been offensively. So if you're Peyton, it's tough as a young player to kind of wait your turn. This is the thing that blew the Celtics up in 2019. Everybody points to Kyrie. Oh, Kyrie's the reason that team blew up. He owns as much of it as anybody, and he wanted it on his shoulders, and what happened that we probably discussed it here before. But the other thing that pulled that team in the wrong direction was that Golden State, the teams that won the championship, and what the Celtics have now, is that the role players have already been there, Peyton being the exception. They've already gotten their contract, they've gotten paid, they've established themselves in the NBA. When Golden State was winning championships, not last year, but the first batch of them, who did they have as backup, you know, as the role players? Sean Livingston, Andrew Bogut, Andre Iguodala. Those guys had been there, done that, right? The Celtics in 2019 had Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier. They had these young guys that hadn't established themselves yet. And so there was that natural pull to do that, and Peyton has to be feeling that. But hopefully at some level he understands he's got a chance to be the 10th guy on a elite team that, as Kendrick Perkins said today, could be riding in duck boats in June.
Sean, final 2 minutes here. Again, Sean Grandy joining us here on the Die Hard Sports Map Radio Network, Progressive Guest Line, the voice of the Boston Celtics radio and TV. Hey, you know, Ime Udoka is the coach. He gets them to Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Obviously, we know that situation. Well, we kind of know that situation. He's gone. Joe Mazzulla is in. Are NBA coaches overrated a little bit?
That'd be a way to phrase it. I mean, overrated by who? Who's
and I don't, saying? I don't want to discredit what Joe Mazzulla is doing.
But here's the point: who's saying at this point that the NBA is not a players' league? That Eric Spoelstra, right, who's as good as anybody there is, Eric Spoelstra is trying to design his own defense to play these two games here against the best shooting team in the history of the Peach Basket. What can a coach at the end of the day? Brad Stevens came in here and was brilliant. Right?
Yep,
but
sure.
He had this undermanned team, and he would MacGyver these games, right? And the Celtics would have like a 15-point lead his first year, and they had no, and you look up and it was the middle of the second quarter, and you're like, uh-oh. It was like watching one of these teams play like Alabama or something on Saturday when they're up 17-14 in the second quarter, and you know there's no way it's going to last because eventually talent and time. It's like Andy Dufresne breaking out of Shawshank, right? Like pressure and time, geology. There's no way you can hang on that long. So I think that coaches being able to communicate to players and being able that players trust to put them in the right spot to win. And I always say this, when you say, well, the coach doesn't matter, the elite players in the history of the game, the great players in the world want to be coached because they want to be great.
Hey, Joe, I got a minute left. I have to ask real quick if you have any thoughts on our Boston University Terrier hockey start.
Funny funny you should ask, because the schedule, as you know, with the NBA, it does not overlap well. And my son has become a BU hockey fan, so the point is a whole another funny story about
about 30 seconds here.
Him and his Michigan. I heard the 60-second cue. Who do you think you're talking to, man?
Exactly.
What am I, the night watchman around here?
See, Lydia gave you 60, but now it's 30.
So basically down to one game a year I can get him to, one or two games a year. So we went to that Northeastern game, Matthews Arena, and it's a blast. It's fun to watch. You know my
that was a great game.
Passion for the game in college hockey. I love it. I miss it. And any chance I get, I'm there.
All right,
hey, Sean, great stuff as always.
Time.
Appreciate the time.
You got it, guys.
Thanks, Sean.
There he is, voice of the Boston Celtics, Sean Grandy.
TV
take a time
radio.
Out. We'll come back and wrap things up. You're listening to the Diehards here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
All right, Linehan. So I have BC hockey Friday night at the Heights, and then I have to go to Providence, and I hate that trip to Providence.
I got to go to New Hampshire tomorrow.
But I was in Providence
Tuesday, right?
Tuesday night for Brown. That's a funky little
nice
rink
little
there.
Rink. Yeah, yeah.
Old rink, but old school rink, but nice.
Yeah, not bad. Do you Brown have any kind of crowd
stinks,
there?
Though. No, there's like 15 people in the crowd.
Did you know 13 of them?
I did not.
No. Weren't Pepe fans?
But they were smart. I can tell you that. Exactly. I was waiting to say, they were smart.
Not as smart as the people I'm going next to tomorrow to UNH. That's where the real smartest kids are.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
You too there, Pep. I came for the biscuits, and I stayed for the gravy and the pie.
Brian McDonald running Rock and Roll Control.
Thanks,
Houston.
Brian.
Great job as always, buddy. Diehards will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.